All right. We were talking about pregnancy tests, and I think we got that one covered. Now, the IRS. They want you to file your 990s. I have seen a few centers that fell into failing 990s. It was always a good reason. The treasurer moved out of town, and the new treasurer didn't know they were the new treasurer, and by the time they got a treasurer, the year had gone by, and the new person that came on there anyway, the 990s didn't get filed. And the little tricky thing about that is these centers got letters from the IRS with a fine. $1 million. That is a bad board meeting. In many cases, those fines get waived. When it didn't get waived, it was payments. And it's a lousy use of donors' funds to be paying IRS fines. So make sure the 990s get filed. Register with your Secretary of State or your state charitable registries. These are variations of all 50 states. Make sure that in your center, and this is an IRS requirement, anybody can walk in off the street and ask to see your 1023. That was the letter the IRS gave you saying you are a 501c3. And then you were awarded your 501c3 letter. Your 1023 was the application that was accepted. And then the IRS gave you your 501c3 designation letter. And the three most recent years of your 990s. This is not a suggestion. Anybody can walk into any 501c3 organization and ask to see these documents. They have to be given. The IRS says you can charge them $1 a page for copies and 15 cents for the other pages. So just make sure there's a file in your center. Ask your director. Also, about 5 years ago, there was a Supreme Court decision, Sarbanes-Oxley. It was for big fraud, big corporation fraud. But remember, we are a corporation. So we got to play with all the rules. And the Sarbanes-Oxley is a very complicated financial auditing decision, but where it boils down to pregnancy centers is we have to have a whistleblowing policy. That does not mean that we blow whistles. It means that if one of our employees comes to us and says, so-and-so's doing something really bad, like stealing the money, they won't be fired for reporting it. Whistleblower policy. We have to have a document retention policy, a conflict of interest policy, conflict resolution policy, and a political activity policy. Now, I will go over that slower. A political activity policy, the IRS says how much of your money and time can be spent raising funds for political organizations. Very little. The IRS also says that within 3 months of an election, I think it's three, before an election for sure, if you are inviting the Democrat to your fundraising event, you have to also invite the Republican or the Independent. Yes?
Did the Sarbanes-Oxley criminal penalties for members apply to nonprofits?
Yes. Yes, but I don't think you're going to have too much trouble with Sarbanes-Oxley because these 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 points are the ones that relate to us. The only other thing that would really probably trip you up is if you're stealing the money, and then they'll get you on financial accountings. So here's what Sarbanes-Oxley says to you. Thank you, Saul. You can't fire somebody if they blow the whistle on corruption. You got to keep your documents. And what that means is, and I have a slide on it later, but I'll just tell you twice. You keep your documents 7 years, and for client records, you keep them 7 years after your client reaches majority. So do the math. If you're doing a pregnancy test on a 13-year-old, you got to keep her record 7 years after she reaches majority. I don't do math that well, so I'll keep them. Conflict of interest. That's pretty easy to do. If you have a board meeting once a year where you say, okay, we've got to declare if we have a conflict of interest, that's all you have to do is just declare it. For instance, if a husband owns the building the pregnancy center is in and he sits on the board, that's conflict of interest. He declares it. If the husband owns a building and the wife's the director and the center's paying rent, you declare that there is a conflict of interest there. And how that's handled is, on voting matters for money, you're excluded. In other words, when the rent comes up for renewal, the director excludes herself from the... Well, she didn't vote anyway, probably. But we just show. For example, I get to talk to you about boards, but I don't just talk. I throw myself into the fire and I sit on pregnancy center boards that I can drive close to. It's one thing to sit here and tell you how to do it, and it's quite another to sit with other board members. They don't see me as the authority often. My ideas are not always taken, but that's just... Where I'm going with this is that I fill out a little piece of paper. We generated ourselves conflict of interest, and I signed it. I received money from Karen at the affiliation of the pregnancy center. That's it. I disclose conflict of interest. It's not hard. So rent, you know, wherever there's money to be exchanged that might be affecting you as board members, you reveal it. You disclose it.
It's like if you buy your insurance from one of your board members.
Good point.
That's
good
conflict
example.
Of interest. That perhaps he's giving back his commission or something, and what, you know, so the cost actually less. But that's conflict of interest because you're doing business with someone on your board, right?
And we're not saying the IRS is not saying you can't do business with them. You have to disclose it.
Do you declare it like in written form?
I would have
in your minute.
I would have a separate piece of paper, conflict of interest, and just have it in your minutes yearly. All the IRS is asking you to do is have a policy on it.
Yeah.
Question? That's a good question. An audit is very expensive. And it would be an unwise use of limited funds to pay for an audit. So you could ask for something called a desk review or whatever the language is. That is not a full audit, but it's a separate set of professional eyes looking at your book. You know, that's a good question. The audit firm that wants to donate would probably have the answer better than I, how they would have to declare it. They're a donor looking at the books. I'm thinking CPA language, which I am not qualified to talk. But by all means, a lot of centers have been gifted by financial organizations a look at the books. Yeah, accept that donation. Please.
There's some of you who want to be audited. Those of you who want to be members of ECFA, that's represented here, there's donors who will only give to ministries that are approved by through ECFA, Evangelical Financial Accountability. So we're a larger center. So we have been part of ECFA for years. It may cost us $1,000 a year. I don't know, different levels could cost more. But to have an audit costs us thousands. But it makes us thousands. Because then you have these higher level donors who will give to you because they are seeing that you are managing your monies to the nth degree, accounting wise. If you're a smaller center, I don't know that you really need that.
Yeah.
But it's good to have for the reasons I just laid out. No?
Whatever you
want
to
do it.
Well,
it wouldn't have to be bylaw.
No.
Just good management.
Yeah.
It would just, in your policy manual, you would, yeah. And for sure you would like a separate set of eyes on the books as you change treasurers. If the board treasurer's terming out, you have a new guy coming on, an independent group of people looking at the books, and you just sign off. Nobody was stealing the money on my watch. Now it's your watch. You know what I mean here. Please.
For audit purposes, what do you consider a small center? Yeah. Consider a larger center?
The dividing point at CareNet is about $250,000. Below $250,000, you're probably a smaller financial center, and over $250,000. We have some centers that hit $1 million plus in larger population bases. And I've been in communities where an audit would cost $3,000. I've been in other communities where it costs $7,000. So you can see the percentage of your budget going to an audit is what I was speaking to there. Did we get clear on that? Count the money, watch it. Conflict resolution policy. We've got some samples on the CareNet website. If we have a conflict, we're going to use mediation, and we're going to try in a godly fashion to settle our disputes, something like that. That's also a service that CareNet gives to you. We also come in and do conflict resolution. If you really get into fighting, we'll come help you. And we won't be happy. So there's what you must have. Did those 5 points seem clearer now? Any questions? Okay, we'll go. Your Secretary of State, and there's 50 different Secretaries of State and different requirements, but just heads up, you have to have your charitable registration current. You should know what your registration requirements are. Fill the annual report if you're required. So you go back to your center and you say, are we doing this? Check on it. And again, the Secretary of State's website or a local attorney to advise you would be the correct way. I am not the one. Client exit interviews, I mentioned, they're so very important so that we have client satisfaction and the responses show your success. And, of course, if we have somebody who's got a negative response, we apologize and fix the situation, and we're glad we're made aware of it, and you would document those actions. Board, usually it's with your staff or volunteers that you're going to get this. And so, client records, we audit and chart and do record keeping with the client records, and that is your director's job. Or do you ask your director if they're auditing and charting the client records in a good fashion? If they aren't, have the director call CareNet and we'll coach her. Board, you don't audit the client records. You sure don't want to see those names. But you want to make sure somebody is recording them and keeping them for the 7 years. And you chart every session you have with a client. And we have part of the volunteer manual that teaches how to chart. Just for your information, you don't write anything on the client records that you wouldn't want read in court. And she does own those records and can ask for them. And if they ever get subpoenaed and read in court, you'd certainly want them written right. So check with your directors and make sure, and directors, check your work. And then we've got the client records for 7 years or 7 years after the client has reached majority. insurance, you need general liability. The errors and omissions is the most important. Board of directors, professional liability, that's where your doctors and nurses, and often the doctors and nurses carry their own insurance through doctors and nurses insurance programs. Medical malpractice, check your homeowner's insurance policy. Media relations, that one's important. Your director should have just a procedure on working with the local media, and you want your director talking to the media or appointing somebody. You don't want everybody to take a shot at talking to the media. You can get it really wrong. But just heads up, you want to, when you're working with the media, reporters call, and it's inevitable. They say, I've got a deadline and the end of the day or something. And that's just the nature of their field. So you work on a callback basis quickly. We suggest you put a time limit on interviews. You'll tell the person, oh, I can meet with you for 20 minutes or 30 minutes and keep that deadline. Why? That's a trick. The media will say, okay, we've had a good meeting. Okay, so off the record, how do you feel? Sucker punch. Don't go there. Interview's over. Look at the time. Gotta go. Leave the room. Notify the reporter you're taping the interview. And most reporters now will come with it being taped and often filmed. And that's good. Client interviews should only be done with the media after release forms are signed for the client and their child. That is super important. Yeah. Thank you. Great example. Implement positive relationships with the media online and in print. This is so important. If you tell your story to the media, it's a good story. If those guys tell the story, they get it wrong. It's more important all the time for you to tell your director, or if you're the director, call the media, give them press releases, and Karen, it gives you press releases, copy them and put your name on it. Invite the high school reporters to your center. Invite reporters. We want to tell our own story. There was a theory years ago that we just fly below the radar and we wouldn't bother them and they wouldn't bother us. That is wrong. That is not the way we're doing it now. Invite reporters to your events, especially friendly ones, and never say anything nasty about abortion providers. You know, we're Christian. Question. Like when the Supreme Court decision came out in June about in Texas, if you wanted something for your paper, CareNet had something up for you on the website. You could tweak it or use it just like it is. And a good press release would be what your center's doing. You're having a walk or something else like that, banquet, gala. Write it up and send it to them. If you write it up, all they have to do is print it. They're lazy, and they don't get the wording wrong because you wrote it. It's really important to write your own stuff to the press. Okay, is that clear? Or at least an idea. Political contacts. Contact your local political representatives, city, county, and state. Oh, you must. You must, you must, you must. The more the people passing the laws understand how great and nice we are, the less chance they'll get it wrong. More and more cities have written legislation that hurt us. The state of Baltimore said that we lie to clients and we had to have a sign in the window saying, we lie to you, you know. And so that was defeated. But the city of Baltimore kept that, and it was enjoined in court. So The best way to protect your center is talk to your local. Talk to your city councilman. Invite them to your center for a tour. Invite your state legislators and senators. Invite, invite, invite. We say our story in our own words and they see it. And that way, when somebody gets on your city council and says, we need to pass an ordinance about those pregnancy center people, then other people can say, you know, I visited their center. They're not like you're describing. It is such protection. It's so important. More important this year than it was 2 years ago. Invite them to your center for a cup of coffee. Invite them to your banquet. And do remember, during election and cycle, you have to invite all candidates to your big functions if you invite one. You can do that by email.
Can I make a comment on our elected officials? I think many of you may know this, but at the end of their election cycle, a number of them have money left over. Okay? And so you contact them. So you write them a letter congratulating them if they lost, and they said, you know, it's too bad you lost. Now, would you consider sharing the leftover campaign funds with our ministry? Okay, that makes sense? So contact them. And it's amazing how many who are, you know, the pro-life candidates will send you money. Yeah? Some of them have thousands left over.
There's a tip we're sitting in the seminar for.
Yes.
Yes. Well, you don't know who your people are inviting, but if the center invites the Republican or the Independent, then you invite the other two. Send them an email.
Would it be just a good rule of thumb to just send out an email to everyone?
Sure.
And then
cover. Yeah. This will make the IRS happy. And now we're going to talk about the Obergefell Supreme Court decision. And that recognizes same-sex marriages as legal in all 50 states. To protect your center's Christian privilege, you need a strong religious identity. That old Karenet statement of faith, that's going to be a big protection for you. What that means is we say we're Christian, and your policies and procedures manual, you say we're Christian, the volunteers know we're Christian, the press knows we're Christian, and when you hire somebody, you ask them to put in writing that they agree with the statement of faith. That way you don't get an employee that say, oh, you discriminated against me because I don't share your Christian beliefs. And you'll say, well, that's interesting, because when we hired you, you said you did agree with these. So the stronger Christian presence, the safer we are now after that decision. Make sure your official documents and job description in the employee handbook include part of their job description is sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that protects you. And we've got more information on the CareNet website, because if I don't hurry through this, Saul will have no time. Here's our statement of faith. I put this on there because so many of our directors are clever and they change it. And this is the statement of faith. So just make sure this is the one your center has. Now you can add the Lord's Prayer, the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, but you can't take the words out. And then we've got another decision, Whole Woman's Health versus Hellerstedt. This was the most recent one in June. Supreme Court in a 5-3 decision struck down the provisions of the Texas Abortion Safety Statute. This is a statute designed to protect minors who are young women who've not purchased surgical procedures before. These young dears at 13 years of age might need a little guidance in hiring a surgeon. That was struck down by the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court said there should be no barrier between people getting an abortion. We were only asking for the abortionists to be licensed and have admitting privileges at the hospital, something a 13-year-old might think that we adults had already figured out. So they struck that down. They said that states may not require abortion facilities to meet the same safety standards as ambulatory surgical centers. By the way, in many states, the dog shelters do have to be licensed and visited once a year by the State Department, but not the abortion clinics. And this goes into effect January 1st for Illinois. I said I'd mention this. Each state has a little particulars, but here's what Illinois signed into law. No state should attempt to rob women of the right to choose a pro-life doctor by forcing pro-life physicians and entities to make or arrange abortion referrals. What's even worse is that Illinois did this by amending a law designed to protect freedom of conscience. And there's who said that. Illinois has just made it a little harder. And then California. And this is what they've said in California. How many people are in California here? Okay, we're not going to dwell on this long. California is still fighting this. Three times their courts have ruled against them. So in a medical center, you have to have signs in the windows, and non-medical centers have to have bigger signs. And that's saying that we don't do abortions. And then here's the one we've been talking about that goes into effect, the Department of Labor, the DOL, effective December 1st, 2016. I'm just going to skim it. Ask professionals in your community to give you guidance on this. It extends overtime pay to full-time salaried employees who make that much money. Nonprofits are not permitted to utilize comp time for salaried employees instead of paying overtime. All employees who engage in interstate commerce is covered by the Fair Labor Act. Now, what that means is there's I don't see there's any workaround. As a board, you've got to try to work around and make things happen. But on this one, I think they closed the gap, again, with that interstate commerce thing. That's a big deal. And where the Department of Labor shut the door on workarounds is that if somebody in your center who's paid by you answers phone calls from CareNet out of state, all of a sudden you have to comply with interstate commerce laws. And if they receive an email from an entity out of state, then you have to, again, comply with their act. So we've got more information in the legal care manual, and you've got the website for Department, DOL, Department of Labor. So here's where you can contact us. We've got stuff. I just skimmed those up on the website. We have many more details. And that concludes what I wanted to say. And I'd like to turn it over to Saul now. So don't touch it. While Saul's... I'll take any questions while Saul's getting his set up. I hit those last things really quick. But we've certainly got more on the website. And then local authorities in your town are so important. Yes? Okay. Illinois, you want to know more about it. So do we. It was newly enacted. More will come down. There are lawyers on both sides of the issue trying to make a difference. And before I prepared for this meeting, I called a lot of people in Illinois, and Alliance Defending Freedom is CareNet's friend, and we do the most of our information through them. And they're still saying, hold on, we're working on it. But your governor did sign it. And New York, Baltimore, California, Illinois, Texas. There are five states in the last year that have really been impacted by their governments and impacted to work against us. We used to not have so many legislators and officials working against us. And that's why my little statement on contact your local people is so important. Contact your city councilman. Invite them to your Senate and your state people so that they can see how nice we are. And then when they get the memos from certain party officials or certain organizations that we're just horrible people, they've often said, no, they're not so bad. I know them. They're not what you're accusing them of. The biggest mystifying thing to me is in the legislatures across the United States, when I work with them, they're always saying, I have a question for the testimony. Are you fake medical clinics? No. No, no, no. I would just love to see these legislators look in the eyes of any of our doctors who hold a medical license and call them fake. It's just astonishing to me. But it's been ingrained by our opposition that we're fake medical clinics. CareNet will throw you right out of the affiliation if you are not using doctors and nurses for your medical procedure. But it's bigger than CareNet. These are state and federal laws. You can't practice medicine without a license. It's called felony stupid. So it's written in concrete. You don't practice medicine without a license. But they're accusing of us all the time. It's just nuts. And that's my opinion on it. So, again, this is just a highlight, but you've got the CareNet website, you've got CareNet manuals, you've got us. Give me a call. We'll talk through your situation in detail. Any other questions while Saul is getting himself up to go here? Yeah. That's right. You can't. The way the Illinois law looks now to me, and I am not an attorney, but the way Alliance Defending Freedom is arguing it is that if a pregnancy center would just say, well, we're not going to refer our clients to abortionists, then the law would say, well, we can't limit our referrals. And if a physician who's practicing medicine in your state does not want to refer a woman to abortionist and they are a physician, then this law would speak to them directly and require them to. Anybody here from Illinois that would like to speak on it? Yeah. Did I get it? Anybody that could clarify that? And Alliance Defending Freedom is a great friend of CareNet, and they are throwing big guns at this. And it's still being challenged in California, too. A week before conference, I heard, well, we've got another challenge going. And the people that oppose what you are doing are really getting aggressive. And that is a pity. So, any other questions, comments? Yeah.
We're required to post in our waiting rooms or in all of the paperwork if referral for an abortion. We're required to give the legislator is calling it a number for social services. So we have to post an 800 number. But the 800 number goes to Planned Parenthood. The legislator kind of snuck that little thing in, and so we we're I know the center's not, we are complying, and it's really no big deal that we just hide it on the wall. It, you know, it has to be this size. And none of the clients or patients see it anyways, but the ones that aren't complying are, there are some that are choosing to take the center and not comply to see it go on with it. They are now being threatened. California now, the new legislators in the last few weeks, to pull their medical license. So to pull them, they're not going to renew them being a medical center. So now they're figuring out, the legislation is figuring out what they're going to go after.
So important to talk to your elected officials. They probably don't have any idea what you're doing. And if you don't tell them, somebody else will tell them, and they won't tell them the truth. So get out there. Start with your high school newspaper reporters and work your way through. Yes. You ready, Saul?
I'd just like to say, the Illinois law, the bill is very vague. So when they say refer, they haven't defined what it means for us to refer. And they also require that we provide the benefits of the procedure of an abortion, and they haven't outlined what those benefits would be. So I think that there's a lot of gray that I think lawyers, and obviously they're going to figure that out for us. But at this point, it's just refer for abortion and offer the benefits to her when she asks, or to him.
Thank you for the update. Okay. Well, it is.
Thank you. Thank you. Make sure I'm hooked up. Can you hear me? I tell you what, she covered a lot of ground, a whole lot. And with Cindy this morning, on when we talk about the executive directors, making sure they're reviewed, I'm reviewed almost every year. Supposed to be reviewed every year. But doing that, being more consistent, is what it's all about. Okay? So we've talked a lot about the do's, the don'ts, the legal aspects. We've talked about, obviously, the importance of reviewing the executive director, making sure that the expectations are written in writing and that they're evaluated lovingly, properly, and that as board members, that you are in the process of helping raise money for the ministry, so you're building an infrastructure that is going to sustain growth. Growth meaning saving more souls, saving more babies, reaching more teens, transforming more lives. Amen? Isn't that what it's all about? I didn't hear a very strong amen. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. And then all the things that Yvonne talked about, there's a lot, isn't there? There's a lot. But take this information. This is a library of information here, and then get on the website. And what I want to address is vision. Vision, because you all are the visionaries, not that the executive director and the board aren't, or and the staff aren't, but you are the visionaries. I always say that you're the rudder of the ministry. You're going to steer it in a direction that God would have it go. And we, those of us who are on staff, that are there day to day, we are the engine. We're the engine, okay? But you're the rudder. You know, it's like I'm born in Greece, in Thessalonica, right? So I come from a Greek, Jewish, Spanish family, like I said earlier. And I love that movie, My Big Fat Greek Wedding, right? And what did she say? What did the mother say? You know, she says, now, the man is the head of the family, right? But what'd she say? But the woman, the wife, is what? The neck as to where he's going to go, and she's going to lead him. And so you all are the neck. You're the neck of the ministry. You are. Now, I'm big on Scripture. And when you look, I don't have it on this PowerPoint here, which I'm surprised, but look on your handout. On the very top, this is one of my favorite Scriptures. It's 1 Corinthians 15:58. I want you to read that with me, okay? Read it with me. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. See, as board members, you are to be stewards of the organization, stewards of the ministry. And I love the Scripture because we could take a few hours and go over this. It says, dear brothers and sisters, that's who there over the board. And it says, stand what? Firm. Firm for what? Firm on what? Firm on God's Word. Right? And firm on the whole essence of what the pro-life movement is all about. It's all about saving souls, saving babies, reaching teens, transforming lives. That's what it's about. You all need to stand firm. You don't compromise on the mission statement of your particular ministry and that mission statement that Karenette talked about earlier. Okay? We are to stand firm. I love bringing on board members. I don't have the final vote, but I recommend a lot of them because you know where we draw our board members from? Donors. That's where we get our board members. They've invested in the ministry. And then as I'm out meeting them, cultivating them, seeing them, and I get to know their hearts, and I see that they have different giftings and they have different occupations that we're going to talk about. Very important. You want to have multiple occupations represented on your board. Why? Because they come from with different giftings and they come from a different perspective that makes your ministry whole. Right? It's really what it's about. So, standing firm. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord because you know your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And you all as board members, and there are some executive directors in here as well, non-voting board members, that you are to be sold out on Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And if you're not, get there. Get there. Because one of my main things whenever I hire anybody or whenever I recommend anyone to the board, number one is they love Jesus. That's number one. Because if you love Jesus, the Holy Spirit's going to guide you and you're going to work as a team in your mission field. And you know what your mission field is? Your city, not mine. I'm from the Tampa Bay area. We're responsible. Our ministry is responsible for saving babies and saving souls and reaching teens, transforming lives in our area. And we got a lot of different states represented here and a lot of different cities. That's your mission field. That's your mission field. And the Holy Spirit will direct you exactly how He wants you to ministry, how to minister through your particular pregnancy center or centers in your particular area. There's strongholds all over this world. There's strongholds in your mission field. And God will show you how to bring them down in the name of Jesus. Amen? That's what it's about. I remember for years, Raul would ask me to come onto the board, and we were building our private practice, you know? And I said, I'm just too busy to come on the board. And he said, I need you. People like you. Not that I'm all that great, but he knew I was sold out on Jesus. I'm going to do what Jesus said He wants us to do on whatever board I serve on. And you're to do the same thing. Okay? You oversee that ministry. You oversee it. And so the more we are sold out on the Lord, that He's not just our Savior, He's our what? Lord of every aspect of our life, our family life, our business life, and the ministry that you're helping oversee. There's one of my favorite authors these last few years is a gentleman named Mark Batterson. He wrote The Circle Maker, and he's written a few other books. One of them's All In, and I love that book. And that's the other thing. We need to be all in. If you're going to be right, if you're going to be on the board, you are all in. And is it easy being on a board? No. It's not easy being on a board, and it's not easy serving the Lord. Okay? It is not. It is not. It's a calling. It's a calling. You know? It is truly a calling. So, but I love it in the book, right from the beginning of his book on All In, he talks about this missionary. And by the way, are you all missionaries? Absolutely. Every one of us are missionaries. Those of us who are full-time on staff, as well as you all being board members, you're missionaries. Missionaries to the unborn. Missionaries to that woman who's dealing with a crisis. Missionaries to the teenagers in your community. Missionaries, missionaries, missionaries. I love this story. And he writes in his book, he says, a century ago, a band of brave souls became known as one-way missionaries. They purchased single tickets to the mission field without the return half. And instead of suitcases, they packed their few earthly belongings into what? Coffins. As they sailed out of port, they waved goodbye to everyone they loved, everything they knew. They knew they'd never return home. A.W. Milne was one of those missionaries. He set sail for the New Hebrides in the South Pacific, knowing full well that the headhunters who lived there had martyred every missionary before him. Almost sounds like the media pushing their agenda of the abortion industry, and here's this little group of pro-life pregnancy centers. We will always be outnumbered, okay, in the flesh, but we're not outnumbered in the spirit, because God is there. So he goes on, and he set sail for the New Hebrides in the South Pacific, knowing full well that the headhunters who lived there had martyred every missionary before him. Milne did not fear for his life because he had already died to himself. Galatians 2:20. His coffin was packed. For 35 years, he lived among the tribe and loved them. And when he died, tribe members buried him in the middle of their village and inscribed this epitaph on his tombstone. Read this with me. When he came, there was no light. When he left, there was no darkness. Isn't that what the Lord would have us do, is be the light in our mission field and to push out all the darkness that's there? And we can do it. We can do it. You know, God always uses the Gideon principle. Gideon started off with about 20,000 soldiers, right? Still way outnumbered. But God says, God's a Jewish God. And he said, Gideon, you should be happy. We're going to bring it down to 300. And Gideon, also Jewish, Gideon goes, Oy vey, what are you doing, God? What are you doing to me? And God says, you will win. There'll be victory. Just know I get the glory, not you. And because of our humanness, God has to bring those numbers down to where things look impossible. The scripture says we can do all things through Christ who strengthened us. If God is for you, who can be against you? If God's called you as a board member to your particular pregnancy center, ministry within your city, within your mission field, then he can do all things through you. Right? As a team, as long as you stay in the Word, in the Word, and that you all pray, and that you all take time for fasting as a group, and that you really surrender your heart to the cause of the ministry. So here, this is so, to me, it's just, it makes us think. And the author, Mark Batterson, goes on. He says, well, when did we start believing that God wants to send us to safe places to do easy things? Huh? Is he talking to us? Right? That faithfulness is holding the fort. That playing it safe is safe. That there is any greater privilege than sacrifice. That radical is anything but normal. Jesus didn't die to keep us safe. He died to make us what? I didn't hear you. Make you what? One more time. What? You guys are dangerous. Dangerous. Faithfulness is not holding the fort. It's storming the gates of hell. The will of God is not an insurance plan. It's what? The daring plan. And the complete surrender of our lives to the cause of Christ isn't radical. It's normal. Now, it has to start with you all as board. As board members, it starts with you, not the staff. It starts with you. The staff has their own group that they are ministering to each other in the battle every day. I mean, Satan is after them big time every day. Satan hates babies. So that's why abortion started off with really worshiping to the Baal, to the God of Molech, the God of Baal. Okay, started way back then. God loves babies. He sent Jesus, our Savior and Lord, as what? To this earth as a baby. He loves babies. And I think your husband described it very well. That unplanned pregnancy, it's happened to my oldest daughter when she was 17, got pregnant. Thank God she chose life, you know. But those are crises. God loves babies. We love babies. And we need to take a stand for what's happening out there. So, it's time to go all in and all out for the all in all. Pack your coffin. That's my message for all of us today. Pack your coffin. You're saying, Saul, you're crazy. Pack your coffin. Well, that's what we've got to do. And there's that scripture. Read this with me. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself to me. That's us, that we've been crucified with Christ. So being all in takes an all out effort. And I love this, and I'm sharing this with us because all of us are flawed. Every one of us are flawed. And yet God has given each of you board members a great deal of authority and responsibility in spite of and because of who you be. Okay? So it took one night to get Israel out of Egypt, but it took 40 years to get Egypt out of Israel. Well, that's us. That's us. With our past, I told you I was a counselor for a number of years. Remember when I was practicing, people would say, so what do you do? I just tell them I'm a psycho. Therapist. They go, oh, okay, glad you clarified that. This is, all of us have issues. All of us have stuff. You come together as a team on your board of directors. There's nothing will stop you from the vision God has given you in your mission field, in your community. So I love this too. Prayers have no expiration date. There's people who have prayed you onto this board. God has been preparing you since the foundation of time for you to be on the board. And if he's prepared you, then he's going to equip you. And we've got folks here, we can from the questions, right, Yvonne? We got folks here that just been on a board a few months. Some of you have been on your boards for years. Some of you went off your board for term limits, now you're back on. And you're seeing a different board. Maybe you see a healthier board coming back on, or you're seeing an unhealthy board coming back on. And God says, this is your assignment. Okay? And it starts with you. You get yourself together as a board member, serving the Lord, being a servant leader, but being one, a leader who is who is in love with Jesus, but that you're a good steward of what God has given you. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about stewardship, talk about vision. Because if you don't have vision, there's a saying, money follows vision. Vision doesn't follow money. There's never enough money. Okay? So have a big vision. We serve a big God. We serve a huge God, don't we? Right? So don't count the years. Make the years count. As I get older, that really hits me. Now, there's three areas that I want us to look at, and they're in your handout. One is unity. Okay? I've been all over the country. I've spoken a lot of different cities at banquets, and usually when I go, I say, let's spend a few hours with the board. Okay? Now, Yvonne is the specialist on boards. You need someone to come and talk to you, you make sure that you get with her. As I've spent time with boards, and I've lived with our board, you know, for what, 17 years, almost 18 years now, I can kind of see what's a healthy board, unhealthy board, and you may have some bullies on the board. Some of you may be bullies. I hope that after we leave here today that God will bring you down a notch or two. And the others aren't assertive enough. You don't speak up enough. So there's that double-edged sword. That's what I love about the Word of God. And so there needs to be unity. It doesn't mean that everyone agrees on everything, but when you leave there that night, you're on the same page. Amen? We're on the same page as leaders. So here, humility plus teamwork turns into unity. And unity releases the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe one of the reasons that the pro-life movement has, we're going in a right direction, but why it hasn't just broken loose, but there isn't enough unity. We can't even get pregnancy centers to go do things together at times. They feel threatened. One feels threatened by another or whatever. I mean, there's a lack of unity in our churches. So until we as believers look beyond ourselves and just say, Lord, what would you have me do? What would you have our ministry do? What would you have our church do? What would you have us do in our community? I'm all yours. See, it's stewardship versus ownership. You don't own that ministry, y'all. You oversee it. Some of you, I don't know if they're here, go around like they own it. You don't own it. You're a steward of it. Okay? And you work as a team. So more, some of the major problems in pregnancy centers throughout the country is the boards aren't together. They're unhealthy. You know? And you gotta be balanced. So the enemy wants to divide us. That's out of Luke 11:7. So a house divided cannot stand. And that's how he attacks us. And here in John 17:22 he says, I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one. As we are one, I in them and you in me, may they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. So in Ephesians, he says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit. Read this with me loudly. Just as you were called to one hope, When you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all in all. Okay, so there has to be unity. And yet that doesn't mean you lose your personality or your thoughts in the mix of this group. Okay, you've got to speak up. Does everyone here believe? Everyone here receive Christ? Okay, all right. And do you believe with that the Holy Spirit resides in you? And do you believe that He is speaking to you? Yes. And when you get in a group, He stops speaking to you? No. No. But some of you act like it. Don't act like it anymore. Be you. And again, not abrasive, not a bully, not a that you're gonna speak, you know, you're gonna take over the whole meeting or that issue. Just speak up in a godly, respectful way. And you just say, like, you know, I hear what you all are saying, but you know what? I have a check in my spirit. I don't understand it. It doesn't even make sense to me. But can we stop and pray right now? Do you guys stop and pray in your board meetings? Make it a habit. When there's an issue, whatever it may be, you stop and you pray. You be bold enough to say, can we pray right now? Who's going to say, no? Huh? Who? And I love our board chair, you know, started things a few years ago, start off with a devotional. And he picks one of the board members to start off that evening with a devotional. They know ahead of time, they're prepared. That devotional could be 3 or 4 or 5 minutes. It could be 10, 15, 20 minutes. Then it's up to that board member. Do you know what that means, not only to you and your peers as board members? How that impacts the staff to know they have a group of board members who pray without ceasing. That's what it's about. I love business people on the board because business people think differently than I don't want to just say just servant, but those who are on the front line. Business people are entrepreneurish. And you're thinking, how can we have more people on the front line? More people, more babies saved. More salvations. More transformation. Follow me? That's why I love entrepreneurish men and women. They're the ones that need to be on the board. You all need to be entrepreneurish in your thinking. I'm sure most of you are. So, moving on. Now, do not mistake conformity for unity. Conformity comprises godly values for false peace. You just don't conform. You don't just give in. That's the point I'm trying to make. As a person who is on the staff, and I'm at all the board meetings, as a former therapist, be you. Amen? And it needs to be a safe setting. Now, what if it's not safe? You got that bully person on your board. We talked about it at our lunch. First of all, they have to be confronted. At Matthew 18:15, when your brother sins against you, go to your brother and tell him his fault. Just between the two of you, if he listens, you've won your brother over. If he doesn't listen, bring another person with you. Okay? So, but they continue. Then you have to see, you may have to vote them off, but you surely have to pray them off. Okay? So these are some of the real things that happen. You know? Me, I just want to rip their lips off and just say goodnight. You know? And let's move on. That's a guy. Who is this? Someone else said something else. I don't know. It was...
Firing squad.
Yeah, a firing squad in the morning. See you there. So... You know, you women are a whole lot more tactful about it. You know? Maybe. Right? So let's look at Philippians 1:27 and 28. Whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand, what? There it is again. Stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man / woman. For the faith of the gospel without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. We can be opposed within those meetings. You got the Holy Spirit that's in you. Fight for that. If that Holy Spirit is nudging at you and saying, man, I don't feel comfortable going in that direction. Right now's not the time. See, you may say, yes, we want to go forward, but not right now. Now, here's the reasons why. Or maybe the other end of the spectrum. Everyone's holding back, and you're going, no way. God has released us. Let's go for it. And here are the reasons why. Okay? Either one. But you be led by the Holy Spirit. And if you don't know about the Holy Spirit, you come up after at the end of this session. We're going to have some people up here praying for you. That Holy Spirit is loud and He's real. So look at that. So this is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but you will be saved, and that by God. So you know what I call it? A holy boldness. A holy boldness. God has put you all in a position of overseeing this pregnancy center ministry that is going right to the gates of hell and rescuing children and their moms and their families from Satan. And even believers, I've said for years, there's so many people on the way to heaven, but they're not enjoying the journey. Are you enjoying the journey? You ask yourself, and then you look at your set of board members. Are you, as a group, enjoying this journey? And it's not easy. As those of us who are on staff in our ministries, are we enjoying the journey? Oh, some days are harder than others. But overall, the joy of the Lord is there. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else, right? I wouldn't be anywhere else. So this is your assignment. 3 years, 6 years. Most ministries have limits, term limits. Others don't. We didn't until, just a few years ago. Just a few years ago, we started term limits. I hate to see some of our good board members go off, but it's also amazing to see who God's bringing on. And you're bringing, you're bringing a younger group. You need both age groups, okay? And I'm loving that. I'm loving it. And they're keeping me younger, thinking. So as iron sharpens iron, one person sharpens another, right? So, and I believe, and we said it earlier, I believe God is having us go through the challenges as board members as well as staff, because he's preparing us to rule and reign with Him. It isn't just about the here and now. It's about the hereafter. We're going to be ruling and reigning with the Lord on the other side. And where is heaven going to be? Right here on earth. It's a new heaven and a new earth. It's right here. Wow, that's kind of strange, but it's true. Well, so let's have an eternal perspective as leaders. Okay? Amen? Eternal perspective as leaders. And this is all what I'm trying to share with us today. You, who I respect and I submit to our board of directors lovingly. Do I always agree with them? No, but I say 90-95% of the time I do. But let's have an eternal perspective. Yes, and let's take the blessing and the privilege of serving on a pregnancy center ministry as board members with such gratitude to the Lord for the position He has put you all in. And the closer you are with the Lord, the more you hang out and spend time with that Holy Spirit that resides in you, the more stable not only your ministry will be, but the more stable and empowered the staff will be. You watch. Our board members have become the ones I recommend a lot of them because I spend a lot of time with our donors. And so most of our board members come out of our donor base because they made a commitment first. Then I've talked to them. Some of our board members have talked to donors, and they go, here's a person who is financially committed. The other thing is they're committed to Jesus Christ. And then the cause. Okay, but in order, it would be they're sold out on the Lord and they're sold out on a cause. They've put some of their money or a lot of their money into it. And then you look, do they have the character to fit within your culture? Do you have a healthy culture? Will that person bring, man or woman, bring onto the culture, make it even stronger? Or if you've got someone who's a radical person in an unhealthy way, don't bring them on. Amen? Because you're the ones who vote them on. I recommend that you're the one who votes them on. So, how big is your vision? How strong is your faith? That's the question. Is really, it should be just the answer. How big is your vision? Well, how strong is our faith? And sometimes, I have to be very honest with you, sometimes as staff, we look at our board, and our boards don't have the faith that we do. And then I've talked to boards who tell me, said Saul, the staff doesn't have the faith we do on the board. So then we've got to get on the same wavelength. So here, Proverbs 29, where there is no vision, people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Isn't that interesting that it says he that keeps the law? It reminds me of going back to Joshua, first chapter, about the first 10 or 15 verses. Moses saying, Joshua, hey, also, by the way, Joshua is another form of Jesus, you know. But Moses saying, Joshua, if he spoke today's language, dude, stay in the Word. Stay in the Word, and you will be a happy man, and you will win those battles. Now, that message is for us. Let me tell you, all those years I did therapy, one of the greatest prescriptions I wrote to them was four words, stay in the Word. That was the main thing. Right there. Stay in the Word. Okay? In the Word daily. Because that is our spiritual medication right there. So, godly vision plus godly relationships produce godly results, and that should be a kingdom harvest. That's where it's at right there. And when you talk about leadership, you know, let me, there's a couple more things I do want to share on here. We have not because what? We ask not. And most ministries will tell Yvonne and I when we're out, you know, out different places in the country, most would say we really need more money. We really need more money. What's another way of saying that? We really need more vision. Faith is one. We really need more what? We really need more what? Vision. That's what you need. Here's our vision statement right there. We have not because we ask not. We're not asking the Lord. Now, obviously, He's not going to give us the monies that are needed to add another center or to bring on nurses who can do the limited sonography, STD testing, all those things. You know, we also have to have an organization. We have to have an infrastructure to be able to do that. God is a God of order, isn't He? He is a God of order. Yeah. And so the more organized we are, the more He will go to bless us because we're doing it right. You know? I mean, you go back to Proverbs, it says, you know, when you build a home, count the cost. Make sure the foundation's laid right. Well, this is your ministry that you have been called to oversee with the executive director and the staff to make it a strong foundation and then to build on it. I just call it an infrastructure. See, if we don't run, once again, if we don't run our ministries like a business, you won't have a ministry. And if you don't keep asking the Lord for His wisdom, His favor, His anointing, you're not going to build it. So our problem is we have not because we have not. Okay? And one of my most favorite scriptures is Romans 4:17. God who gives life to the dead is talking about Abraham and calls things that are not as though they were. So Romans 4:17 is that's it right there. Calling on things that are not as though they were. That's Romans 4:17. That's our vision statement right there. So who here wants to add another center? Is there anybody? Okay. Who here needs to add? What else do you want to add? What is it that your center is needing in order to reach more of the clients in your community to help save more babies with more souls? Different being on it. What is it?
Different
location. Big one. Okay. Well, going medical. Okay. Going medical. Different location. What else?
STI and STD.
Okay. You want to do STI testing? Yes. Okay. Praise God. Building a new building. Well, I have, it's already in the bank. It's in the bank. Yeah, it's a Jewish banker. Okay? It's in the bank. It's in the bank. Yeah, calling on things that are not as though they were. However, you have to count the cost. You have to make sure you got things in order. So have you started your building? Seven-eighths. You are a detailed person, aren't you? Yes. Seven-eighths of the funding. That's excellent. Okay. Are you building it as you go along, or have you got a mortgage on it?
No. No mortgage.
No mortgage. Great. That's great. You want to come to Florida and join us? That's marvelous. Good. Good. Now, building isn't always the answer, you know, to what's needed in your where you are, right? We talked about going medical. We talked about the STI testing. You know, we talked about, what was the other things? I'm so sorry. What was the other? New location. Yeah, yeah, and they're praying about it. A new location, you know, that needs to be at a high, more high visibility. You know? Yes? Moving on to college. Have you already gone on to the college campuses? Great. What college is it?
Drake.
It's in Iowa. Yeah. Yes. Gail, who does our special events department, that was where she graduated from, was Drake. Yes. Yeah. What is that vision that you all have? And you don't, we have not because we ask not. And, you know, calling on things that are not as though they are. And then in Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Wow. Are these scriptures for someone else or for your ministry? Yeah, it's for your ministry, all our ministries. What limits us is your limited vision. That's what limits us. That's what limits us. And lack of unity limits us. Okay? So, how big is our faith? And moving on here, you know, most people ask why. Visionaries ask what?
Why not?
Ha! Ha! You should make me happy. Ask why not? Ask why not? Why not? Yes.